And please put in your prayer requests and everything in the text chat so our Lord can, well, he already knows what you're going to type before you type it, but you know. So anyway, we are in heavenly places. And if you are a Christian, obedient Christian, you are in heavenly places 24/7. And so when you step off the path and let those bad angels come up, as soon as you come to your senses, get back on your knees. 1 John 1:9 is pretty clear. He's going to forgive you. And depending upon the stupidity, you know, stupid act that you commit or the sin or whatever, depending upon the severity of it, sin has consequence. So you might get spanked to some extent. Or a blessing will just take a little longer to get to you. And that's not something any of us cherish. We want all of it and all of it now. But, you know, as Paul said, spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so praise the Lord for his merciful heart, his love towards us, his long-suffering in 1 John 1:9. It tells us how to get rid of those sins. So, okay. And, hey, that's a good transition into the title for Heavenly Places this week. It says, the title is None Need Be Overcome. And it starts off with James chapter 1, verse 12, which says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And even though it's far off in the future, let's say, it could be a whopping 10 years from now when Jesus gets here, or even 20, none of us know the actual day or the hour. We know the season, and we know we are in that season, and we also know that Spirit of Prophecy does say things are going to speed up when we get closer towards the end, and that's why we see things speeding up right now. It's getting very intense very quickly. And when the other shoe drops, it's going to drop pretty quickly, and so you got to be prepared for this because, well, just case in point, do a little bit of research on some of the eyewitness testimonies of people that spoke recently who are like in their 80s or even 90s, because I remember hearing some of these testimonies 20 years ago where people that were living in Poland and any other nation that Hitler was controlling, they, like with Obama, they all thought Hitler was the best thing since sliced bread and all these promises. And, of course, he started doing all these crazy things so that within a few years, one morning, they all woke up. The night before, they were in a free nation. The next morning, there were Nazi soldiers on every street corner with M16s or whatever they used, Lugers and stuff like that. But and so it changed overnight for the most part for them. And so with today's technology, it's not going to be difficult for them to do the same thing. Actually, it'll be a lot easier. So anyway, she goes on to say that when trials come into our lives, when clouds darken the horizon, how ready we are to forget that Jesus is our Savior, that behind the clouds the Son of Righteousness is shining, that angels are close beside us, preserving us from harm. I would say to the despairing, look and live. I got to tell you, there's some people that I've been talking to now for, I don't know, a couple of months, that are in my private prayer list, that are dealing with crisis of faith and all sorts of attacks on them, and they're very, very fearful in life right now. And it would be nice if they would just study with us, but some people just aren't ready, I guess. It's a neat, you know, thing to see, though, when it finally does click. And they do actually learn to look and live. And how that changes the life. It just so drastically changes the life. And there is no sin, no matter how addicting it may be, no matter how much some people may think, I was born this way, those kind of situations can totally be. I mean, I remember when I was, before I was a Christian, there were things that, like, okay, let's say like the smoking and the drinking and the foul mouth kind of a thing and the promiscuous ways. After finding Christ, it was like, because I remember for 18 months trying to stop all that idiocy and some of the stuff that I was doing for 18 months, and I literally tried. I mean, to the point of getting out a spiritual hammer and nails and trying to build me a stairway to heaven, and I just couldn't do it. I kept failing. I'd go good for a couple, 3 days, and all of a sudden, bam, you know, right back into it. And but then I met Jesus, and it's like I always say, it's the, you know, it's where you learn to look and live, because he really does turn it around. She goes on to say that, "Hope thou in God, for on Calvary's cross a complete sacrifice was offered for you. Jesus is the sinner's friend, the sinner's redeemer, eternal joy, a life of undimmed happiness awaits the one who surrenders all to Christ." And a lot of people think, like I was saying a minute ago, about stuff like this is like far off in the future, maybe 10 years or stuff like that, because the Lord hath promised to them that love him that will receive a crown of life, right? The verse that we started this off with. And or like even here, a life of undimmed happiness awaits the one who surrenders all to Christ. And people are saying, yeah, well, that's like, you're talking heavenly language, you're talking things that are going to be happening when we finally get there. And people look at it like, I don't know, maybe are you thinking that it's not going to happen? You know, because it's just like with the mindset of some people, with the you cry wolf so many times that people are going to go, oh, yeah, right, that's going to, you know, and it never does, you know, because the crying wolf thing, we all know about that that method of madness. Well, a lot of people like to apply that to Scripture and saying, you know, especially atheists. And some of the people that I've been running to and lately online and offline, stuff like that, he says, yeah, you guys have been preaching this fall to all, they call it, you know, for my entire lifetime, they say. And Jesus ain't come back yet. Or like when I was a little kid. And I think my dad said what he said just to calm me down because he knew it upset me. I couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old. I mean, I literally had to stretch my arm all the way up to grab hold of his pinky as we were walking down State Street in the Loop, Chicago's Loop, because my old man had a business where his main office was in the Loop. He had other offices around the north side in Florida, stuff like that. But he, there was some guy on the street corner. I've shared this before. The guy was on the street corner. He had one of those big signs on his chest and on his back, kind of like the old-fashioned way they used to do it, because this was in the 60s, early 60s. Actually, late 50s. It could have, well, no, I was 5 or 6, so it was like 61, 62 around that time. And there was this the guy. You've seen the pictures, like the old-fashioned black and whites, where you see the guy walking down the street where it says, "Eat at Joe's." You know, there's a big sign on his chest and big on his back. And, well, this guy had, you know, "Repent, for the end is near," and all this other stuff. And I really didn't know how to read, but I could hear. And he was saying these things, and it scared me. I says, "Dad, is the world coming to an end? I mean, I kind of like would have liked to have known this. I mean, here I am, a whopping 5 years old, and I'm not going to live much longer." Kind of. And my dad says, "Ah, they've been saying that since I was a kid." And I honestly believe that he just said that to calm me down. Because my dad was very religious, even though he was Catholic. He knew some stuff, you know. And then later in life, before he died, he did accept Christ as Savior. And so I praise God for that. But it's, if we don't, you know, like when you think about this, the way that people think today, like, because they all say the same thing. They all say, yeah, I've been hearing this my whole life, and Jesus still ain't come back yet. Well, this is what I love about Christians that read their Bibles. It's so much easier to talk to you than it is to talk to people on the street, because they won't open Bibles and they won't look in the newspapers. But some of them are actually seeing what we're seeing now. And this is one of the reasons I'm getting some of the strangest emails from people that don't crack Bibles, because that's one of the first questions I always ask. When was the last time you read your Bible? Some of them don't even have Bibles, but they're getting scared because of what's happening in the world. And we're expecting that because, you know, There's going to be a group of people in the world that are going to look at both sides of the fence, and they're going to see us, and they're going to see the rest of the world, and they're going to choose to be on our side. But they need some education to get there, and this is what we're called to do. And so one of the easiest methods that I found on the street, or even in my own heart, when I hear statements like that where people, like when I was younger, you know, well, I've been hearing that all my life, and Jesus still ain't come back yet, when I hear stuff like that, I think, okay, that's all well and good, but that doesn't tell me he's not coming back. That just tells me he's merciful. He's letting us have as much time as we can to get ready, because I'm not stupid. I can see those things that he said were supposed to happen have happened. So if those things happen, and there's so many of them, if these things have happened exactly as he said they would happen, Well, then when he says, I promise you this, or I promise you that, or I give you undimmed happiness for anybody who surrenders all to Christ, well, yeah, it's a no-brainer. If every single one of his prophecies were 100% etched in eternal concrete to the point where they all come true, well, then these promises have to be true, too. It's just that easy. And so, anyway, she goes on to say, look away from yourself to Jesus, who is pleading before the throne of God in your behalf. Listen to his words. Come on to me, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And, of course, that's Matthew 11:28 and John 6:37. With the hand of faith, grasp the promises of God. And, okay, the key word there, of course, is faith. And a lot of people have a little bit of an issue in that area. And this is one of the reasons I bring up the prophecies, because it helps us to see the signposts on the road or the path that we're walking to make it home. So we have the evidence that the Word of God is true. That should be a bolster in your faith as well. At least it helps me. The other thing that helps me is when I hit those dry spells and I go into my praise list. Because I've been keeping a praise list ever since I met Pastor Russ. And now my praise list is all electronic, of course. I don't, in the basement I have maybe, I don't know, 16 or 20 books. There's, you know, those three-ring binders, and you fill them with paper and lined paper, and I just did like a diary. And I did it for years. I still do it. I just don't do it as much as I, like I used to do like a daily diary back then. Now I just do, whenever prayer is answered or dreams and stuff like that. And it really helps to go back in there and take a look around, especially even with the dreams. And no, I'm not a prophet. But it does say in the book of Job, I can't remember the verse right off the top of my head, but it does say in the book of Job, when one of the young guys were getting all up in Job's face, but he was actually using scriptural theology to do it, but applying it wrong, because Job wasn't a sinner here in regards, well, he's a sinner just like the rest of us, but he was misunderstanding the judgment upon Job as chastisement for whatever. He didn't realize it was a test. But still, the fact of the matter is, he did tell Job, says, yeah, all of us get instructions from heaven in dreams. And so we do. And so I like going into the dreams, and because I write them down with dates, and it's just like some of the stuff that happened recently in the church. And, well, I'm not going to go much further than that, okay? But there were some things that happened in the church recently, sadly, some things that have happened, and it was revealed before, way beforehand. But I didn't know that guy. You don't remember sometimes these things that he shared. And that's why it's so important to have a praise list, because it really does help when you hit them dry spells, I got to tell you. And we're all going to get them. It's part of the test. Even Moses had to deal with 40 days of just silence. So did Aaron. And we all know where that headed. So we got to just read the word and act accordingly. Let's just put it that way. But she goes on to say that appropriate these blessings to yourself, not at some future time, but today. The strongest temptation cannot excuse sin. However great the pressure brought to bear upon the soul, transgression is our own act. In other words, 1 Corinthians 10:13 is pretty plain. I don't know if she touches on that here, but the fact of the matter is, there isn't any temptation that the Lord allows upon you that you can't handle. You can walk away from it. You know what helps me? When the devil likes to throw these little darts and, try to, repeatedly throw these little, I was going to say repetitive, but, we all get them. Fast. That's all you got to do is fast. And I'm not talking about from food. I think everybody here should at least fast at least one day a week. I mean, that. You want to get a better, closer walk? Fast once a day, once a week. And there's all different ways. You can not eat anything for the day. You can not eat anything till sundown. You can eat unpleasant food, like a Daniel fast, like bread and water. And if you're older and sickly, I would suggest that fast. At least get some sustenance in your body. What I mean by fasting on the other toss of the coin is, let's say you got a problem with watching movies, any kind of movie. whether it's G-rated to the naughty stuff. Tell the Lord that you're going to fast from watching any movies. And don't give him a time period. Just say, I'm going to fast. And see how long you can go. And you'd be surprised. And ask him to remind you every time that you're, you know, tempted to go watch a movie or something like that. Oh, wait, I'm fasting. I can't do this right now. Can't do it. I mean, you've done the fasting with the food. Why not do it with this? And it really does help, you know, because it'll remind you. He will remind you that you shouldn't be doing it because you promised him. So she goes on, it is not in the power of earth or hell to compel anyone to do evil. Satan attacks us at our weakest points, but we need not be overcome. However severe or unexpected the attack, God has provided help for us, and in his strength we may conquer. In the hour of greatest need, when discouragement overwhelms the soul, then it is that Jesus comes very near. And I'm not kidding you, because with the fasting thing, or just even if you don't want to use the term, or like if you don't want to make the commitment, if you will, in that regard, just ask him to remind you, to help you to not do those things, and he will remind you. You just got to listen for it, and he will give you an easy way out of that temptation. It's the part of the promise, 1 Corinthians 10:13. So she says, the hour of man's necessity is God's opportunity. Or, like we like to say, this is where he shines the most. And she says, he sees our danger and provides help for us. Do not think that when you walk with Jesus, you must walk in the shadow. The happiest people in the world are those who trust in Jesus and gladly do his bidding. He is the light of life. From the lives of those who follow him, unrest and discontent are banished. With a full heart, they echo the words of the wise man. Wisdom's ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. It says in Proverbs 3:17. Though they meet with trials and difficulties, their lives are full of joy. Or like we like to say, we go through the trials with the smiles. And then she says, for Christ walks beside them, and his presence makes the pathway bright. So it really is a lot easier as a Christian. And this is one of the reasons I like to, with the people that email or I see on the street or whatever, or phone calls, if you're having issues in the area, you know, when was the last time you read your Bible? When was the last time you prayed? I mean, it's one thing to call up a preacher, but you're going to have to expand. And I always tell the people, I says, look, I'm not a whipping boy. I am not going to whip, and I'm not going to give you the spiritual spanking to make you feel better. Oh, well, I got my spanking. Well, at least that. Because that's Catholicism in a nutshell. That's, in other words, go to a confessional, tell the priest your sins, and then he gives you about 10 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers and an act of contrition or something. And then you got to genuflect 30 times or something. Who knows? And you think, oh, all my sins are forgiven because I did this and I did that and I did. It's all about self. And that is not how you get forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 is plain. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess and repent. But the Catholic Church wants to twist it around to where it's what happened on Calvary 2,000 years ago, that's not enough. We'll help you out here, you know, in the confessional. And so it's the same thing, too. Like, I'll get phone calls from people, and they'll expect me to give them a tongue lashing, if you will. And no, it's just not going to work. I mean, yeah, they're in sin and all that, but and I'll rebuke them as gently as I can, let them know what you're doing is wrong. But don't expect me telling you that to be your guaranteed forgiveness. You have to repent. You have to ask God for forgiveness. And when you sin against somebody, you have to ask them for forgiveness, too. And this is, for some strange reason, a real difficult task for some people that like to slander us or whatever, and they say things out in public. And that always shocked me because it kind of reminds me the first time that I was embarrassed to confess a certain sin to God and not to a priest. I was a Christian now. And I was going to, I'm confessing this and I'm confessing that. I'm asking him for forgiveness here and there or whatever. And I come across this one, and for a split second I thought, well, I don't know, I'm not going to mention this because I don't want him to think I'm that big of an idiot. And all of a sudden I thought, wait a second. That's stupid. Because I committed the sin in front of him. Doesn't matter where you're at. You could be hiding in a closet on the moon. He's still going to see you commit the sin. So confessing it is nowhere near as bad as actually doing it. As a matter of fact, confessing it's even better than doing it, because it actually lets the Lord know that you're serious about not wanting to do that again. And I think that's one of the things a lot of people like. It's a pride thing too, like when they slander, and you share it with them and say, well, I forgive you. I forgive you 100%. But you have to go to the Lord now for forgiveness. And if you, like, and if the person slanders me or you or somebody publicly, well, then they have to publicly apologize. That's just part of the way you, you know, get forgiveness. And when it comes to against your fellow man, you know. But some people just can't do that. And a lot, because of the pride thing. And that's just, it's too bad. But hopefully one day I'll come and they will. What happened to Eli? I just noticed he fell out. He didn't get back in, huh? Is he having, maybe his internet's down or something? Or did he say goodnight? Did he have to leave early or something? Or? Oh, he's there? Oh, okay, okay. All right, he's there? He's nearby? Yeah, because I just noticed Stefan there. Okay, so yeah, he's got to be there. Stefan's there because they're both together. And I just noticed something. Let me just end the recording anyway. For those of you listening on the recording, thank you for listening, and I hope and pray that you were blessed.